Well, we come in our series of studies in the Beatitudes of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word Beatitude is from the Latin, which means blessed. That divine blessing or divine happiness that is so different to the happiness of this world. This is special. It's the highest form of happiness that anyone can enjoy, that only our God can give. And we have been looking at these verses. And last week we looked at the third beatitude from verse 5 of the 5th chapter of Matthew, where we read, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek. And last time we saw that by the word meek, our Lord is not speaking of any form of weakness. The Lord is not speaking and does not mean a kind of timid or spineless Christianity or life. In fact, He means the very opposite of it. And we have noted that according to the Word of God, to be meek means to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord, enduring with great patience. To be firm in the midst of all difficulties, holding upon the truth that God has revealed to us. Whatever life throws at us, the meek will persevere to the end. The meek are kept. They keep their eyes fixed upon the Lord steadfastly, upon His promises steadfastly, while the strong of this world, they are rushing here and there. They do not know what to do. We saw how we could define the word meek or meekness to be a spiritual acceptance of God's dealings with us without bitterness or complaint. That's the meaning of the word meek. A spiritual acceptance of God's dealings with us without bitterness or complaint. Some translations would translate this as humble. But it doesn't mean exactly, there's humility involved in this. But a scriptural meekness is something we see, for example, in the life of Moses. And yes, he was a humble man, but his meekness was more than humility. And we saw three things last time. First, we saw meekness accepts the Lord on His own terms. Accepts the Lord on His own terms. Not our terms, but God's terms. And to be meek, we must accept God as He has revealed Himself. Then secondly, meekness opens the heart to the Word of God. And thirdly, meekness submissively bows to the will of God. And today I want to follow on from that and explain these words of the Beatitude under the following headings. Fourthly, or our first point today, is that meekness rests in the sovereignty of God. And then the next point is meekness treats others as God treats us. And then meekness is a blessing in itself. I want to explain what that means later. And then finally, meekness leads to the enjoyment of every other blessing in Jesus Christ our Lord. Those are the things I want to highlight before you and explain this verse to you. So, first of all, meekness rests in the sovereignty of God. Our Lord said, "Blessed are the meek." What does this mean? Meekness This meekness that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of and says that the man has this kind of a meekness is a happy man, divinely happy man, is a person who rests. His meekness rests in the sovereignty of God. You see, meekness looks beyond men. Meekness looks beyond circumstances and sees the sovereignty of God controlling every aspect of life. It rests in the Lord. You see, meekness rests in the Lord. And thereby avoids bitterness and frustrations. If you are a meek person, then you are a person who rests in the sovereignty of God. And by that, then, when you trust in a sovereign Lord and trust in His dealings, then it removes bitterness. Bitterness towards God and bitterness towards man. And it removes frustrations. You begin to look at your watch according to God's time, not according to your time. A meek man is a man who knows God, and he knows a God who is on the throne and is in control of all things. Nothing can come into my life except the Lord commands it or permits it, and He controls it. Not a thing. Not devil or man can do anything to me except the Lord commands them or allows them, and He controls it for my good, because the Scripture says so. And He does that for His own glory. That is a very practical statement of the sovereignty of God. We can quote the words of the apostle, that all things work together for good to them that love God. Many people become very agitated when you talk about the sovereignty of God. To me, it is the backbone of faith. If God is not the absolute sovereign ruler and disposer of all things, I have no hope of salvation. But He is. Thanks be to God. He's in control of the angels of heaven and all their actions. He's in control of all the demons of hell and all their actions. He's in control of all the men and all the armies of men on earth and all their actions. While men are responsible for their own sin, the Lord Almighty is in total control. He makes even the wrath of man, the Scripture says, to praise Him. And that is a great verse from Psalm 76 and verse 10. That the wrath of men will praise God. That's the way God works. We cannot understand it. And I cannot explain how He does it. But I feel no need to try. God defies explanation. If you have a little God whom you can neatly package and explain and put away in a little corner of your theological system, I say that is not Christianity. For we have denied the God of the Bible. We have limited Him to certain things. God defies explanation. Yes, He has revealed Himself, but He defies explanation. He is in control. His dealings are always right. His dealings are always wise. He is rich in mercy. He loves us with an everlasting love. He has a Father's concern for His people. His eyes are upon us, and His ears are open to our cry. He therefore makes all things work together for our good. And knowing this, a meek man facing trying circumstances, a person, you are here facing certain trying circumstances, you will look to the Lord and you will say, As we read in Matthew 11:26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That's the words of a meek man. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Now let us be very practical in opening up this verse. One of the severest trials you are called upon to endure is when your fellow men, when people who are around you are the direct cause of your sufferings, especially when they are malicious and when they are unjust towards you. How do you deal with that? It's a great challenge to each one of us here. It's hard to bear. The natural reaction is to be bitter, to be vengeful. A minister said that he heard a Christian saying this: when people have hurt me so badly, I cannot give place to them. And this man's reply was to him, you had better, otherwise you will give place to the devil. It is hard to bear the slights and the injuries that men heap upon us. But meekness looks beyond man, who is, after all, as the prophet called, the rod of God in Isaiah. God uses man, other people around us, as his rod, the rod of God in situations. And we must see the Lord, as we read in Isaiah 28 and verse 29. This also cometh from the Lord, Isaiah says. This also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. That's how a meek man sees the actions of people towards him. This is how meekness reasons, you see. I'm not saying that a meek man cannot take legitimate steps to amend the wrong men do to him. That would be unscriptural and that would be wrong. I'm simply saying that he will seek to discern the hand of the Lord in it all and will submit every action and reaction of himself, of his own, to the revealed will of God, to the word of God. The Lord's glory will mean more to the meek man than mere personal vindication. And each one of us here today will have a situation in his or her own life to which we can apply all of this. Some person or persons have done you injury in business, in home, in church. How do you deal with that? You're hurting. They have hurt us. We feel it. And this is a natural thing. And there is a natural bitterness, a natural desire for revenge, or at least for vindication. And many lasting wounds are afflicted in church and family situations because of certain implacable insistence on personal vindication, or because of an unwillingness to forgive. Are we unwilling to forgive? Are we unwilling to overlook real or imagined hurts? Only by pride, I was reading earlier in the week, only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advised is wisdom. We read in Proverbs 13, verse 10. The well advised is the meek man. He stops before reacting in kind to his adversaries. This well advised person, he is reasoning, he is seeking the wisdom of God. And he's reasoning within himself, I do not excuse the sins of men. I don't excuse the sin of this individual. But I cannot suffer apart from God. This also cometh from the Lord of hosts. He reminds himself of Isaiah's words. This cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, and he is excellent in his working. What would he have me to do or say in this situation? That's the reasoning of the well-advised person. And it should be our reasoning if we are meek. And we must see the hand of the sovereign God in our situations. Thus, meekness turns us from hasty anger. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9, speaks to this point. Meekness turns us from hasty anger. We read there, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Do we not need rebuke in this? Do we not habitually rush to make some bitter or angry response when harmony in the home or in the church or in our business and especially the cause of Christ in this time that we are living in would be better served than a meek spirit that takes time to seek the Lord's will and way of addressing the problem. Sometimes we take the situation in our own hand hastily. And act hastily, say things we regret we have said. In those situations, recognize the sovereignty of God and bow your head before Him. Seek His will, how you should act and react. Have we not seen enough evidence of Christians who have had some short-lived pleasure? They thought they got the matter off their chest. And they said something angry back. They said something that has a sting in its tail in their reply. And then later on they regret it. Later on they have to say sorry for what they had said. Later on they ruined their testimony before others. It's cost them the opportunity to be of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Meekness will also keep us from bitter vengefulness. It keeps you from bitter vengefulness. In Romans 12 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul, he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The world, friends, has a saying that should have no place in the heart of a Christian. And I've heard that. Certain individuals saying, not Christians, but this is, I've heard it from people of the world, unconverted people. They said to me, I don't get mad, I get even. Have you heard that? I've known people to waste their lives and destroy any Christian testimony they had because they could not leave it to the Lord to vindicate them. Perhaps we are also committing this very sin. Do not leave the matter with the Lord to vindicate us. But we have to do something about it. We have to let people know the situation, the correct things. And we can harbor spite in our own hearts against someone who has injured us and who has not yet paid sufficiently for it. And this is like a cancer in our soul, this kind of attitude. It is doing us unspeakable harm. It is robbing us of the spiritual joy or usefulness. And we need to ask the Lord for the grace of meekness to reign in our hearts. God knows it all. God works out all of His purposes. He will vindicate the right and judge the wrong at last. And so we must sink our futile wrath in the great ocean of the sovereign, wise, and good will of the Lord. Again, meekness will save us from evil speaking. Meekness will save you from evil speaking. If you are a meek person, you will not be speaking evil of men, of others. Paul admonishes us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. He says to put away evil speaking. There's far too much of this, friends, among professing Christians. Too much evil speaking. Even the supposed spiritual person will use spiteful comments, unhelpful comments. They would use innuendos to put down someone with whom they feel the need to get even. The answer to this evil is a meek spirit. The alternative to that is to be complaining like the children of Israel were. They were so opposite to Moses, their leader. They complained. Moses did not. We can be so critical in our words and others pick it up, you see. It changes the whole atmosphere of our own soul and atmosphere of those our surrounding. Is bitter words. And none of these things are like our Lord Jesus Christ. None of these things are more obtrusive and obstructive to the testimony of the gospel. And from all of these things, you must see that a meek man is strong in the face of provocation. When you are provoked, the meek man is strong. Blessed are the meek. They are strong when they are provoked. And the meek man is able to do two things in that situation. First, he will firmly hold to the truth of God and to the God of truth. Meekness is not a spineless cowardice that runs and hides because it cannot stand up to opposition. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, He was meek, and the zeal of God's house was consuming Him, burnt Him up, leading Him to confront the money-grabbing religious leaders and the hypocrites who had turned the house of God into a den of thieves. And you remember that account. And the Lord Jesus Christ was meek, and yet He was strong. A meek man will stand for the truth of God, and he will stand for the God of truth. But, and this is the second thing a meek man is able to do, when he is provoked or suffers, he fixes his eyes on the Lord and does not allow the provocations of, or the pain that he receives from others or circumstances to become a snare to make him sin. He won't allow that. He won't excuse his sin. He won't say, I have to do this. I am provoked, and so I am allowed to sin. He won't allow himself to do such a thing against the Lord. Of course, this is the devil's aim. The devil wants you to do that. He provokes us, and then he wants us to fall. He wants to react in an ungodly way because it will dishonor the gospel and it will dishonor the Lord. The devil wants to do that. So see the devil behind those things too. Meekness enables you not to break up fellowship, but to see the hand of God in certain things and react towards those people who have provoked you in a godly way. Meekness enables you to overcome the stratagems of hell and Satan, to look beyond your circumstances and rest secure in the sovereignty of God, to realize that He's in control. It's easy to say these things, friends, but so hard to put these things into practice, so that to know that He will do the right at last, that there is no need for anger, there is no need for bitterness, there is no need for evil speaking or anxiety. Keep these things, friends, before you, and you will not be betrayed into sin by a carnal reaction to difficult circumstances and difficult people. And we ourselves, if we are honest, can be so difficult ourselves. And yet the Lord is patient. But secondly, meekness treats others as God treats us. Meekness treats others as God treats us. Meekness treats others according to God's gracious dealings with our own souls. Blessed are the meek, because they see meekness in this way. Follow the Apostle Paul's reasoning, and I want to quote some verses from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. If you follow this very closely, you will see the reasoning of the Apostle Paul. He says, put them in mind. What is that? What is it that we are to put in mind? What is it that we must think upon and remember? To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And then he stops. There's a pause. And he says, But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you grasp the force of this argument of the apostle? Treat men with meekness. Because you were as guilty a sinner as any are, and are saved only by the grace of God. You've nothing at all of which to be proud. Yes, Christians can very easily fall into pride. They can easily set up double standards. They can look out on the ungodly man. They see somebody who is acting ungodly, who is sinning, and we can easily condemn them. No doubt their sin is to be condemned. But you should remember, you should do it with broken heart. You should do it because it has offended the Lord. Not with a proud heart. Not like a Pharisee. But broken, that they have broken thy law. So your eyes are running with tears because of this. Do not rise up on a high pedestal of self-esteem or look down proudly on the poor sinner. He needs the Christ who saved you. Humble remembrance of the grace of God towards us will do something, will impart meekness, and lead us to confess, I am what I am by the grace of God. The grace that saved me can save any person. Therefore, my dealings with all people, whoever they are, will be in the light of God's grace, God's love, and God's will. I will ever seek to be and to do whatever I can to help bring men to Jesus Christ and to glorify God. Paul instructed the apostle, the Timothy, his son in the faith, as to the duty of the Lord's servants. He says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26, he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by his will, by him at his will. He says, look, these people are opposing the Lord, opposing his gospel. They are sinning. But he says, instruct them. You must instruct them. You can't just let them carry on. Instruction must come, but in meekness. If perhaps, peradventure, God will give them repentance. That's such a powerful statement that the apostle makes. Why did you repent? Why did you repent? God gave you repentance. That's why you repented. Not because somebody was persuasive in their arguments. No, it is the gift of God, the apostle says in Ephesians 2. God gave us repentance. And the God who gave you repentance, can give repentance to the worst sinner in the world. So we instruct in meekness to say the truth, and it must be said, but in love. What are we to do? Are we, as so many people, so many Christians do today, to withdraw ourselves so that we don't soil our hands, our clean hands, as far as we can see, with contact with the sinners of this world? No, that is not the biblical answer. We are to instruct sinners, to those people around us, in meekness. If peradventure, God will give them repentance. Meekness will enable us to treat men as God treats us. And when that happens, we will see the solution to a host of pressing problems. When you begin to think in that way, in the way of meekness, it will help you to resolve so many issues. You think about parenting as an example. The problems parents can have rearing their children. Some parents fail to discipline their children at all. Others go to the other extreme and batter them into senseless submission. How can you resolve such situations? Try treating them as God has treated you, and you will have the right balance between loving support and loving severity. You can and should apply the same standard to every other problem area. Of course, sometimes it will appear that you're leaving yourself wide open to getting hurt again. And I know sometimes I've talked to some of you and you said, but if I carry on in this way again, I may get hurt again. Yes, that is the risk that the Christian takes. But there is a God in heaven. And He's in control. And He has said that the meek shall inherit the earth. God has promised His blessing at last on the meek. Blessed are the meek. So many problems of bitterness and wrangling could be settled if we would only treat men as the Lord treats us. And this needs meekness, the grace of meekness. We cannot work it up in ourselves. It's the gift of God, and we must seek it. And this is so true in the church. Ephesians 4:32 puts it with powerful clarity, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is how meekness works. And then, meekness is a blessing in itself. Meekness is a blessing in itself. Blessed are the meek. One of the chief blessings of meekness is meekness itself. Isaiah, the prophet, he says in Isaiah 57, those very famous words, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's the picture of our state by nature. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes and imparts true meekness to us, we have peace. The peace of knowing the control of God in our lives, of knowing that He's working all things for us. He is for us and not against us. Of knowing that He can and will look after every circumstance that hurts or challenges our lives. To know that is to have peace. Psalm 37 discusses this peace in the midst of the hurt caused by evil men and difficult circumstances. The Psalms are filled with such words. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What a blessing meekness is in itself. All of those things that the psalmist speaks of are the outworking of meekness in a person's life. By it, you can live in peace in a restless world. And what a restless world this is. It's a great source of peace to be able to say, Lord, I am where thou placed me. I am thy blood-bought child, indwelt by thy Spirit, and sealed unto the day of redemption. What a blessed thing that is to be able to say that. Lord, thou hast promised to care for me and all concerning me. I'm facing hardship, and we bring all our matters before the Lord. I'm experiencing misrepresentation. I'm experiencing persecution. I'm experiencing these afflictions. Thou hast told me not to fret or become bitter, to leave it all at thy hands. Cast my burden upon the Lord. I do by faith in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the meek man. Blessed are the meek. Problems that you cannot solve can be solved when they are handed over to the Lord. Remember, there is and there cannot be a heart or a person that God cannot change. There cannot be a persecuting soul of Tarsus that God cannot make into a beloved apostle Paul. There is not a mountain that God cannot remove, not a devil that He cannot defeat and restrain. Meekness rests on this assurance and enjoys great peace. And our time is gone, but I finish with my final point, that meekness leads to the enjoyment of every other blessing in Jesus Christ our Lord. It leads to the enjoyment of everything else, but in Jesus Christ. And so this is what we find. for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. That's a prophetic statement, but it's a reality too for them. This is spiritual meaning. The meek shall inherit the earth. The word earth means land. And that would indicate something that is a key word in the Word of God. It has to do with the promised land. There's a picture here that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of in the Old Testament. It speaks of the land of Canaan as the land of blessing. It's the Old Testament term that describes the New Testament blessing of the covenant of grace. What are those blessings? We are heirs of God. That's one of the blessings. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have everything that pertains to life and godliness. This is the land of fullness. This is the land of plenty. A land that flows with milk and honey. It is the land in which the Lord smiles upon His people. And they live in fellowship with Him. It is the land of the saved. It is the world that the Christians have entered into. It is that kingdom that the Christians have brought into. It is that fold that the believer has been brought into under the power of the Spirit of God. There's a higher plane, friends, of spiritual living. This blessing of the land, the earth, the inheritance that the Lord is speaking about. There is a higher plane that than most Christians have ever dreamed. There are heights of love and depths of experience that, when compared with the present experience, are like Canaan in comparison with the wilderness. May God bring us into the enjoyment of Canaan fullness. It belongs to the meek. This blessedness belongs to the meek. This promise belongs to the meek. When we are found low at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have His promise that we shall enter into the and inherit this land. This is the working and worth of meekness. And as I said, this is the gift of grace of God. And if you are not converted, if you are not saved, but are not willing to take Christ on His terms, this is the grace of the Holy Spirit to you. Come with confidence, trusting Him, and you will be saved. And if you have already come to know the Lord and come to Jesus Christ and you are a Christian and received Him, cry for increase of the grace of meekness. Your whole peace of mind and your prosperity in Jesus Christ depends on your being meek. It's the grace of God. That raises the all important question. If meekness is all that necessary, how can I be meek? How can I be meek? Remember, it is of grace. Micah wrote this in Micah 7. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. The Lord who saves us also subdues the iniquities, the sins of His people. By grace we can be meek despite all natural tendencies and bent in the opposite direction. Meekness is part of the fruit of the Spirit, as it's recorded in Galatians 5:23. How can you bring forth the fruit of the Spirit? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. And the Spirit always works by revealing Christ to us. Every spiritual blessing comes back to Christ. He said abide in me. If you abide in Christ, you will bring forth fruit, and one of them will be meekness. May God truly make us meek as a people. He's begun a good work in us. And meekness is part of the Christian's life. It's not that a Christian is not meek. No, he has it. But it must increase if Christ is to increase. Amen.